Healthy alternatives. Both research and real-life experiences are making it clear every day that our traditional medical system and practices need to be rethought, revised, and recharged in light of a more holistic approach to health. Dr. Jerry V. Teplitz, host of Healthy Alternatives, has been a pioneer for 36 years in stress management and optimum health. With a Ph.D. in holistic health sciences, a law degree, and as the author of 8 books, all focused on health, stress management, and performance, Dr. Teplitz is uniquely qualified to help us explore and incorporate healthy alternatives into our daily lives. He is a professional speaker and has shared his wisdom with over 1 million people. Join him to reach your highest level of health and wellness. Now, here's Dr. Teplitz.
Welcome to Healthy Alternatives. I'm Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and you're listening to WebTalkRadio.net. What Healthy Alternatives is about, most of us really want to reach optimum levels of health and wellness. We want to feel better, live longer, and enjoy life even more. And that's what I attempt to bring to you on each of the Healthy Alternatives shows. My guest I'm going to be interviewing a little later is Tom Cavanaugh. Tom has a master's degree in transpersonal psychology. He's had 3 decades of sales experience, and he's also certified as a master neurolinguistic programming practitioner and trainer. He's certified trainer in clinical hypnotherapy, also mind mapping and photo reading. We're going to be talking about this photo read concept, which is a way you can literally read pretty much a page a second with high levels of comprehension. We're going to talk to Tom in just a few minutes. Every week, I like to begin the show by talking about an issue or concern you should know about because it can have a real impact on you. What I want to talk about is tuberculosis. Tuberculosis around the world is starting to reach epidemic proportions, and there are many strands of TB that have been developing that are resistant to drugs. Now, 1 in 10 cases of tuberculosis is actually drug resistant. It's second only to HIV as the leading infectious killer of adults worldwide, and is the 3rd largest cause of death among women between 15 and 44. Now, there is a mainstream drug that can stop tuberculosis. Problem is, it's not profitable. Let me explain. Back in the 1950s, researchers discovered an inexpensive over-the-counter anti-inflammatory drug called oxyfenbutazone. And it was used to treat arthritis, but it was withdrawn in the 1980s because of a variety of symptoms that people would have in terms of side effects. Now, when it comes to treating tuberculosis, this drug appears to be the safest treatment that's out there. See, researchers found that it would cost about 2 cents a day to treat TB in developing countries where the disease has reached these epidemic proportions. Now, it's unlikely that it will ever be used to treat TB patients because its patent protection has expired. And it's unlikely that drug companies are going to pay for the getting it certified as a new drug because of the extraordinary expense involved. Not only that, in using testing on animals, which is required by the FDA, and usually use mice, they metabolize this drug way too fast for it to be studied, and so that would also jack up the cost. What do you have out there as a choice at this point? Well, a drug was just approved by the FDA from Johnson & Johnson, and it's designed to treat multi-drug-resistant TB like the oxyfenbutazone can do. The difference is that the drug that Johnson & Johnson released has a 5-fold greater risk of death compared to a placebo. Not only that, but they require normally 3-stage testing process. The FDA approved this drug, it's called Benequinlin, after only 2 phases. Now, there was a promise that they would continue more tests later, but lots of luck with that. So there's a drug out there that can really stop TB in its tracks, and it looks like it's going to be sidetracked. If you want to know more about me, Dr. Jerry Teplitz, you can go to teplitz.com, teplitz.com, and you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook. I also do a free monthly Teplitz email report. You can sign up for that. Again, it's health, nutrition, wellness oriented. I cover different things than I do on healthy alternatives. Go to teplitz.com. You'll see the home about button. Click there and you'll see where you can sign up. Every week, I like to talk to you also about a healthy breakthrough. It's the newest discoveries. It's the latest information on healthy alternatives you can use for yourself, your family, and loved ones. So what if you could have medical advice from the Dalai Lama's doctor? Dr. Tsuang Tumdin, he is a world-renowned expert in Tibetan medicine, recently visited Emory University in Atlanta, and a little girl in the audience asked him what she could do about asthma that she suffered with, and she wanted to know if anything in Tibetan medicine could help her. While he said inhalers that doctors prescribe do work well, and he told her to continue using it if she already was doing so, but then he pointed out that inhalers only treat the symptoms. Tibetan medical practice ultimately aims to get at the root cause of the problem. So this makes Tibetan medicine sound like what we call as holistic medicine, alternative medicine, when in Tibet it is the mainstream medicine. Tibetan practice teaches that people get sick when their person's physical, psychological, and spiritual well-being are out of balance. To restore this balance, Tamdin recommended diet and exercises changes for the girl. He suggested eating 3 or 4 white raisins a day, and even to avoid cold foods, particularly ice cream. What he also said, if another patient came into him with asthma symptoms, they might get a completely different diagnosis because each person is treated uniquely. If he was to have a longer consult with the girl, he said he would perform similar tests, diagnostic tests done in the West, but then he would go into the area of where a psychologist would go and try and find out if the person had anger issues, anxiety, things along those lines. So Tibetan medicine really mimics our notion of alternative, complementary, integrative medicine. It's got a way longer history than our medicine. It's a 2,500-year-old system. So maybe we can learn something from them. Before I bring on my guest, Tom Cavanaugh, I'd like to pause for this message. I've got a book called Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change. With what the Tibetan doctor was talking about, this will be the book for you. It has all kind of things you can do to handle those stresses, those anxieties that are coming at you nowadays. It'll even show you you can get rid of a headache in 90 seconds and migraines in 5 minutes. It's a wonderful book. It will really help you in your life. To order it, you can go to teplitz.com and you can click on the products button and then go into books, or you can go to amazon.com. Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change. My guest today is Tom Cavanaugh. Tom has a master's in transpersonal psychology. He's had 3 decades of sales experience. He's also got a very rich background in neurolinguistic programming, hypnotherapy, accelerated learning. He's become a certified master NLP practitioner and trainer and certified trainer in clinical hypnotherapy. He holds a bachelor's in clinical hypnotherapy as well. And he has certifications also in an area called photo reading. Tom's also a veteran of the U.S. Marine Corps, and he's the originator of the RELEASE technique, which is to help release the effects of post-traumatic stress disorder. And last time Tom was on, we talked about mind mapping, and this time we're going to focus in on photo reading. So welcome to Healthy Alternatives, Tom.
Dr. Jerry, thanks a lot for having me. It's a pleasure to be here again.
So we better tell listeners what the heck photo reading is, because it sounds like you got a camera there reading for you. So what is it?
Well, photo reading is a process of absorbing or blasting through reading information at speeds of 25,000, approximately 25,000 words a minute, or even higher as you get better at the process.
So, in effect, they call it photo reading because you're kind of taking a picture of the page but comprehending what's on there?
What you're doing is you're going to be blasting through the pages at approximately one page per second. Now, your human eye can only read about 880 words a minute consciously. So everything that photo reading does is bypassing the critical faculty of the conscious awareness, and we're basically installing the information at the other than conscious level of the mind.
Now, years ago, there was a technique called Evelyn Wood Reading Dynamics, which was
yes.
a speed reading type course.
Yes.
Does photo reading differ from that approach, and kind of what's it based on?
Well, first of all, let me give you some perspective as to reading speed for average people, what people would read as a speed reader and what people read as a photo reader. The average person will read somewhere between 150 and 400 words a minute. Speed readers, if they get pretty good, they're going to be somewhere around 12 to 1,500 words a minute. I've seen speed readers up as high as 5,000 if they were very well practiced. Photo reading will bring you in at about 25,000 words a minute on an entry level. And then from there, you'll get better and better, which means that you'll be able to turn the pages actually faster and faster. So those are the different levels of reading. And, of course, photo reading has flexibility in it. When you need to slow down and really absorb one specific piece consciously, you have the ability to do that.
So you take 2 seconds there, huh?
Right. It's a process of 5 steps, and the 5th step is called activation. We have 4 activation components to that step. And each of those components will allow you to layer in a new level of awareness of the material that you photograph.
So what kind of research is it based on?
Well, photo reading is based upon 3 pillars. The first pillar is accelerated learning. Accelerated learning is a genre which was created in the early 1960s by Dr. Georgi Loznov. He's considered to be the father of accelerated learning, and he created this process to help students learn languages better. And what it transcended into was helping athletes get better at their sport. If you're probably old enough as I am to remember the 1968 Olympics, when the Eastern Bloc countries were taking all the gold medals in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
those people were trained by Dr. Loznov in their sports using the accelerated learning techniques that are part of the photo reading process. The second pillar that it's based upon is pre-conscious processing. It's a concept that was developed by Dr. Norman Dixon. And basically what it does is allows us to understand that there's a certain lag time between when something happens and when we actually become aware of it in our conscious mind, because our brains have to process. And the timing is anywhere from a third to a half a second behind when something actually happened. And photo reading takes advantage of this process by being able to see ahead of what's coming. The best way I can describe preconscious processing is if you've ever sat at a stoplight and the light turned green but your body didn't move, then an example would be why your body didn't move and all of a sudden the car goes blasting through the intersection because they ran a red light. Your preconscious process is basically absorbing all that information ahead of your conscious awareness and prevented you from being in that danger zone. If anybody's ever driven a car, you've been in that position at some point or another. And the third pillar is called neuro-linguistic programming. And neuro-linguistic programming was developed in the early 1970s by Dr. Richard Bandler and Dr. John Grinder. And basically what it was created to do was to model excellence in all things spoken and unspoken. So those are the 3 pillars photoreading is based on.
So can you describe a little bit more of what's happening in the brain when you're processing stuff that quickly?
Yes, all of the information that we've ever seen, heard, done, or learned is stored in the other than conscious mind. And we have access to that information upon demand when we need it. We have a readily available memory, and then we have a deeper memory from longer periods of time ago. The less that we use information, the less we have the need for that information. We don't use it as often. But those neurological pathways are still built in the brain. For instance, if you were to get back on a bicycle after not riding one for 20 years, you might be a little bit wobbly, but you've already built the strategy in your brain that allows you to remember how to do that. If I were to ask you to think about the first time that you tied your shoe, you might not actually remember the process that you went through, but everybody almost remembers the feeling of frustration that we had because we were trying to learn something brand new. And what happens is over a period of time with repetition, we learned that strategy. Now we can tie our shoes without even thinking twice about it. So what happens in the brain when you photoread is you actually train your brain in a new strategy of learning and absorbing information. And over a period of time and repetition, that strategy gets built where the information becomes spontaneously activated after a certain period of time.
So what's the comprehension level? Because that, I know, is a concern people had when they started doing Evelyn Wood reading dynamics, is a lot of dispute as to how much you can actually comprehend off of a page. So what's it with photo reading? Any idea?
Well, we find that the comprehension levels are approaching anywhere between 80 and 100%, depending upon how many of the activation components you actually go through. In other words, photo flipping of the pages is one part of the process, and then there is an incubation
period.
Hold
on. When you say photo flipping, you mean turning the pages?
Is that what? Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we call it photo flipping.
Okay, so, I just wanted to make sure I got the
sure,
right
sure,
picture.
Yes. when you're flipping those pages at a page for a second, that's the first real step in installing the information into the other than conscious mind. Now, the one thing that we have to do is, in the beginning, you have to let the information incubate in your mind for a short period of time, a minimum of 20 minutes. It's kind of like when your brain defrags at night. All the information that you've learned today goes into your brain, it gets defragged, and then tomorrow morning it's been assimilated, and now you know the information. Very similar to that process. And about 20 minutes later, then you can begin to activate that information and bring it up into your conscious awareness.
So while it's perking for that 20-minute period, are you doing anything?
Actually, you don't really need to do anything with the photoreading process. You're going to allow the other than conscious mind to take over and do its job by sorting through the information in our own filtering process. We have about 10 million bits of information which bombards our neurology every second of every day. Our processing system either will generalize it, it will distort it, or it will delete it, depending upon how much we need that information. And so it's an automatic process that takes over. So we just allow the other than conscious mind to take over and do that process. And once that happens, then the information will be available to us.
So in that 20-minute period, do you refrain from doing anything else, or it just is 20 minutes regardless of what you're doing, and then you can think about the information? So I just want to get clear as to what the picture is for
sure.
That period.
Sure. No, you don't really have to worry about doing anything else, or you can be doing your chores, or you could drive to the store and come back, whatever it is that you want to do. The idea is that you're allowing the other than conscious mind, which is outside your conscious awareness, to go to work and sort the information through. Then you begin the process of activation, and the different components in the activation step will allow us to layer in the awareness one layer at a time.
So before we continue, and for folks who want to maybe go to the store in the break so that they can assimilate all this, I'd like to remind you, you're listening to Healthy Alternatives with Dr. Jerry Teplitz on webtalkradio.net. And we'll be back with my guests, Tom Cavanaugh, in just a moment.
Are you starting to suffer from the midwinter blahs? Is the sunlight, lack of sunlight, getting you down? Well, go take a look at Full Spectrum Fluorescent Lighting. Now, you can go to Lowe's and Home Depot and get what they're calling Full Spectrum tubes, but there's no government standard on it. Turns out that they're not full spectrum. They only simulate sunlight in the visible wavelength, not the invisible. If you'd like to take a look at where you can get full spectrum, you can go to teplitz.com, click on the products button, and then you'll see lighting products. It all comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Bulbs, tubes, compact spirals, the whole gambit is available for you there.
So my guest today is Tom Cavanaugh. He's got a very rich background as a master NLP practitioner. He's a certified trainer in clinical hypnotherapy, and he also is certified at teaching photo reading. And we're talking about the photo reading aspect today. And so, Tom, how long does it take to learn to do photo reading?
Dr. Jerry, that's a great question, and thank you for asking that. The seminar is a basically 2.5-day seminar, and in that period of time, you will go through different stages of learning. In other words, there are 4 levels or stages of learning that we go through whenever we learn anything. The first is unconscious incompetence. That's when we don't know what we don't know. The second is conscious incompetence. That's when we know what we don't know, but we need to learn it and do it. The third is conscious competence. That's when we know what we needed to know, and now what we have to do is continually practice it to get better. And the fourth level is unconscious competence or mastery. So by the time you are done the 2.5 days of the seminar, you'll be at that third level, which is conscious competence, which means that you'll know how to do the process. You'll know how to make the photo reading whole mind learning system work to your advantage. And now all you have to do is practice it to get more proficient at.
How do kids who have things like ADHD, ADD, and all those different letters of the alphabet that they get stuck with, how effective is it for them to learn photo reading?
Well, in my opinion, it's been designed so that it teaches us at the other-than-conscious level. Paul Sheely created this process in 1985 at the request of a colleague of his to create a process that would help executives, IDS American Express, learn how to consume the volumes of information that were coming across their desk. If you remember, that was the beginning of the information age. And Paul created this process in response to that request. Now, when he designed it, he did it so that it would be absorbed at the other than conscious level. I'm not a doctor of psychology. However, in my opinion, I believe that the learning disabilities that we see today aren't necessarily a disability so much as it is the wrong approach to teaching. And I believe that these are conscious processes that the children are going through. The nice part about what photo reading does is it bypasses the conscious awareness and installs the information at the other than conscious level. So in my opinion, and it's only my opinion, I believe that photo reading would be an outstanding alternative for people who have been, quote, diagnosed with a learning disability, such as ADHD, to have them go through this process and discover for themselves how smart they really are by knowing that the information is at the other-than-conscious level.
Is there an age that person has to be able to learn what you're teaching?
We like to see people come in at the age of no younger than 13. And the reason for that is, now sometimes we've seen them as young as 10 who were definitely reading at levels far above their age grade. The challenge is that photo reading, if you remember, has to make sense at the other than conscious level. So it has to be bounced off our depth of vocabulary at that level. And because of that, it usually takes till someone's about 13 or so for them to, number one, have the depth of vocabulary where this would work well, and number two, it's a 2.5 day seminar. It's a pretty long period of time, so the maturity level of them being through that amount of time in the study situation is critically important.
Yeah, I can imagine a situation where a kid who's 13 who's not really great at school takes this and all of a sudden they're going from D's to A's and the teacher's thinking they must be cheating on the test because you can't jump that way.
Well, that's exactly what we've heard stories about, believe me. And one of the nice parts about this process, that because you were kind enough to have me on your show before with the mind mapping segment, mind mapping is actually one of the activation components in the fifth step of photo reading. So the students, especially students, younger students, will have a dual benefit. They're actually going to learn distinct skill sets that can work interchangeably with each other. Number one, they learn mind mapping as part of this process, and they learn the photo reading technique. So they can take the mind mapping as a standalone skill set, and they can take that into the classroom and utilize it for other things. So can professionals, and so could athletes. And the photo reading will allow them to absorb the information where the mind mapping actually helps to bring it more into our conscious awareness, because we're a visual-based society, and that's what mind mapping will do.
So after the 2.5 days of training, how much practice do you have to be doing to both become proficient and to keep it?
Well, one of the things about photo reading is the fact that once you've learned it, our brain, we've discovered through neuro-linguistic programming that our brains and our mind are capable of one-time learning. Think back to something where you were taught one time and you grasped the hold of it right away and you knew it forever. That's the same thing that happens with photo reading. You might get a little rusty if you put it up on the shelf and don't use it for a while, but you'll still know how to do it, number one. Number two, to answer your question specifically, to become proficient at it, what I've devised is a process where someone can invest only 30 minutes per day in the photo reading process, and they can actually get through a complete book per week with comprehension levels approaching 100%, because they'll have had an opportunity to go through and utilize each of the components of all of the five steps during that 7 days in the 30 minutes per day. So they can basically read 50 books a year with 2 weeks off for vacation.
Do you guys ever do the Olympics of photo reading?
Actually, we just finished that. That's called the Photo Reading Retreat, and it was done in Minneapolis, Minnesota, with Dr. Paul Sheely. And we had several days there with Paul where he took us to the next level in photo reading. And one of the crowning achievements during the photo reading retreat was that we had several people from the audience who volunteered. They're accelerated photo readers. And they volunteered to spend only 20 minutes with a book. And once they spent the 20 minutes, they photo-read the book, and they mind-mapped it and incubated the material. And then what Dr. Sheely had was he had the authors of those books on a conference Skype call, and those authors asked each of those volunteers 10 questions about their book. It was a phenomenal experience for everyone. And it really took everyone's belief system to the next level, because each of the participants basically aced all of the questions that they were asked during the process, and it was an astounding event.
I assume being on an iPad or a Kindle or a Nook, it can be, so long as you can flip the page fast enough, you can do it.
Yes, as a matter of fact, because most of our trends are going towards the electronic age, you can easily read a book on your computer. All you have to do is go up into View and put the view on the screen into two-page view, and you can flip through the pages like that. You can do the same thing on a Kindle with single-page view, and all you basically have to do is we have to put your mind into a certain process that it goes through where it allows the information to bypass the critical faculty of the conscious mind as you're flipping through these pages. And once you're able to do that, you can read it on a Kindle, your Nook, you can read it on your computer, any electronic device.
Do you get calluses on your finger from flipping the pages so fast?
No, I've flipped thousands of pages. I don't have any calluses yet.
Oh, good. And you actually have said that photo reading can make somebody a better golfer. Can you talk about that and also how it affects people in business and in their lives?
Absolutely. And it's just that's really the main thrust of what I do. I want to help people become better at what they do through the process of photo reading. If I were to ask you, Dr. Jerry, to think of a number between 1 and 10, most people pick 7. What was your number?
It was probably 10, and then it dropped to 7.
Okay, great. Now, you picked that number because, for some reason, you have a relationship with that number. Whether you realize it or not, it's a number that you like or it's your lucky number, whatever. Let's put that aside for a moment as the reason why you picked the number. Now, let me ask you a more challenging question. And this is a very, very difficult question that most people have challenge with. If I were to ask you where that number was before I asked you for it, what would be your answer?
Where that number was before you asked me?
Yes.
It was somewhere in my brain because of the other research I've done.
Right.
I know there's precognition.
Right. So what happens is everything we've ever seen, heard, done, or learned is stored at the other than conscious level. That is all information on demand. You weren't thinking about the number 10 before I asked you for it. It wasn't in your conscious awareness. However, when I asked you for it, it immediately came to your mind. So what that demonstrates is the power of this vast database of information that we carry with us. Let me give you an example of the difference between what we carry in our conscious mind as far as processing capacity and our other than conscious mind, and then I'm going to get to why this will help people as a golfer.
You'll need to be brief on it just because we're running out of time, Tom.
Okay, sure. So if you think about 2 feet standing in straight up, that represents the processing capacity of your conscious mind, the amount of space underneath that. Now think about 11 miles straight out in all directions around you. That represents the processing capacity of your other than conscious mind. So everything is available to you on demand. When you photo read, I recommend that people read, when they photo read 50 books on the subject of golf or whatever it is that they want to. And what happens is that all that information gets put in together. It becomes digested and assimilated by the other than conscious mind. It actually becomes part of the neurological system of that person. That's why those athletes in the 68 Olympics were doing so well, because it just became automatic response to them. They had a fraction of a response better, and that's what this will do for any professional in reading, any student, or any athlete.
Great. Now, you give seminars on this?
Yes, I do.
Any way for people to learn it long distance at this point?
At this point, we have not put together a system that is available online. We are working on that, and as soon as we come up with that combination, then I think that that's going to be available. However, I wouldn't wait. If I were someone that wanted to learn the system, I would find a way to attend the in-house seminar, because there's nothing like hands-on work with an instructor right there to help you.
So if you would like to pursue what Tom's been talking about with photo reading, find out his schedule, you can go to his website at newtrainingstrategies.com. That's newtrainingstrategies.com. Tom, thanks for being a guest today on Healthy Alternatives.
Dr. Jerry, thanks for having me again. Have an awesome day in your life. Bye-bye now.
My guest next week is going to be Dr. Svetlana Maskatova, and she received a doctorate in developmental and educational psychology and her associate professor degree in Russia. She's been a university lecturer, a scientific researcher, and she's also developed the Svetlana Maskatova Educational Institute. She's authored over 120 published works on psychology, education, neurosensory motor reflex integration, movement-based development. She's been one of the leading researchers on how movements affect learning. She's written a book called Trauma Recovery, You Are a Winner, A New Choice Through Natural Developmental Movements with Pam Curley. And it received the Regional Book Award in Iowa in 2007. We're going to be talking to her about her approach and how it can really help people who have disabilities and difficulties in their life that nobody else can touch. You're not going to want to miss this one. This is Dr. Jerry Teplitz. You can find out more about me at teplitz.com, or you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being with us today for Healthy Alternatives. For more information about Dr. Teplitz and his availability for speaking engagements, please click on the globe on the webtalkradio.net page in front of you, or go to teplitz.com. You may also follow him on Facebook and Twitter by using the icons on the page. To find out more about his books, please click on any of the book covers you see. Eat well, rest well, take a breath, get some exercise, and we'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Healthy Alternatives.